Mark 13 today, and the end is near. Armageddon, apocalypse, end of the world. Sorry about that. I had to be a little dramatic. Mark 13 is big time. We're talking end times prophecy, the stuff that drives the imagination of religious fanatics. Take one part prophecy, add two parts Mayan calendar, stir in a few blood moons, and you've got a recipe for mass hysteria with a large side of hype. Now, on the other hand, this is also core to the doctrine and teachings of the Christian faith, or at least the Bible part of it is. Jesus will return to establish his kingdom. This is what all of history is leading to. And this is Jesus' teaching. Same Jesus who taught love your enemies and forgive as you're forgiven, taught his disciples to watch for signs of the end. So what do we do with this? Well, be careful. We're treading on dangerous ground here. End times prophecy is essential, but tricky. Balance is required. We're in the days leading up to the cross, likely Tuesday, and in verse 1, as Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." Now, this prophecy is fascinating. What they saw was so impressive, and yet not one stone would be left on another. Sure enough, less than 40 years later, in 70 AD, the Romans sacked Jerusalem. In the process, every last stone was taken down. This first prophecy is important because it sets the stage. First, it came to pass quite literally, not allegorically or figuratively, but literally. Second, because it got the disciples looking past what they see here and now to something beyond. Now, I can't cover the whole chapter in a few minutes, so I'll focus on the forest and leave the trees for you. If you do read commentaries or listen to sermons, you'll find that good Bible teachers do not all agree on how to interpret this. And that's okay. That's part of future prophecy. God doesn't make it 100% clear. Think about it. On Jesus' first coming, rabbis had varying expectations about Messiah. Jesus didn't match all their interpretations, but he did fulfill the scriptures perfectly. The same will be true about his return. So keep your focus on the word itself. After Jesus' first words, he sits down with four disciples on the Mount of Olives across from the temple, and they ask him two questions in verse 4. "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled?" Jesus' answer begins in verse 5 with a warning. "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many." Our first lesson on end times prophecy: don't be deceived. Don't trust everyone who comes in Jesus' name, and especially those who claim to be Jesus. Next, Jesus gives signs that are not the end, but close. "When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come." Jesus explains that the signs will build up like birth pains. Now, that's a key phrase. Labor pains build up and take a while. I took my wife to the hospital several times before the baby actually showed up. So wars, famines, earthquakes, and all the rumors and news that go with them are warning signs, but not the big event. What is the lesson of birth pains? Be ready. You don't know when it's going to happen, so be ready. In verses 9 to 13, Jesus warns of persecution. Before he comes back, living for Christ will mean hard times. But in verse 13, the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Now, that persecution is a prophecy for all times, but in verse 14, we jump to the end times with a specific sign of the last days. "When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong." Now, that specific sign is repeated through the Old and New Testaments as the big sign of the end. Abomination, something horrific, nauseatingly horrible, that causes desolation. It makes everyone run. Daniel 11 says the abomination will be placed in the temple in place of sacrifices. That means there will be a new temple in Israel. 2 Thessalonians 2 says it will be the Antichrist who sets himself in the temple claiming to be God. Daniel 12 says the abomination will take place exactly 1290 days before the end. That's 3.5 years, the halfway point of the tribulation. So this is the big sign to watch for. The others are birth pains. Abomination of desolation is water break. When that happens, Jesus says to the Jews in Israel, run, flee, time is short. Again, in verse 22, do not fall for false Christs and false prophets, even if they do miracles. Be on your guard. In verse 24, great signs in the heavens. But watch the order here. Those are for the very last days. Then in verse 26, what it's all leading up to. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. That is Jesus' second coming. It happens at the end of the tribulation, Revelation 19. If you miss everything else, get this one. Jesus is coming back in glory, and he will gather his people. So, that's it. The forest view, anyway. Please read the details, and you can get lots more in Daniel, Revelation, and Thessalonians. But Jesus closes this out with some essential guidelines on approaching end-time study. Read carefully, and you won't be deceived by the latest Apoco date predictor. In verse 28, now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. In other words, when the signs build up, you know it's coming. He says, it is near, right at the door. I like that picture. It's like preparing for guests to arrive. Get your house in order. Jesus is showing up. Now, it's interesting that Jesus chose the fig tree, which is used several times as a symbol of Israel. When the fig tree blossoms, could refer to Israel blossoming. The nation Israel regained its homeland in 1948. Today, it is literally blossoming with flowers and agriculture. It's truly a modern miracle. And all of that is a key biblical sign. And in verse 30, when Jesus says, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened, it could mean the Jewish people will not pass away. Or it could mean the generation that sees Israel blossom will not pass away till the end. However, be careful about anyone who tries to pinpoint the day. Verse 32 is key. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will arrive. Understand that God does not want us to know the exact time. Day and hour are about precision. You can know the general time and be ready. But this is birth pains, and no human being can schedule a C-section for God's kingdom. Jesus says nothing about predicting a date. In fact, he does the opposite. But he does say, be alert, be ready. And in verse 34, Jesus tells a familiar story. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Here, this is the heart of the message. Why doesn't God give us exact dates? Why don't we get 100% clarity? Why are the signs so general? For the same reason that God lets it feel like he's gone away. He wants us to keep watch. He wants us to stay ready. We show our true character when we think he's not watching. We show our faith in his promise when we stay ready. When you know that Jesus could knock on the front door of your life at any moment, your house is ready all the time. In verse 35, therefore keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.